The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Well, they did it. Workers at the Chattanooga, Tennessee Volkswagen plant overwhelmingly vote for the United Auto Workers. Next up, the Mercedes plant in Alabama. And today on the show, what Progeny is all about and the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. Welcome to the Monday, April 22nd edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have a total of three guests on the show today. In our first couple of segments, we're going to be joined by two individuals to focus on National Infertility Awareness Week, which was a movement founded back in 1989 for the reason to influence lawmakers and companies to enforce policies that create barriers for people who need help building their family. There's a lot of people that are in that category, and we have two very distinguished guests joining us today from an organization called Progeny. Now, Progeny is a comprehensive benefits solution supporting members through their suite of preconception, fertility, and family building, maternity, postpartum, and menopause products. Joining us today will be Dr. Janet Choi, who is a double board certified reproductive endocrinologist and OBGYN. Dr. Choi serves as the chief medical advisor for Progeny, where she brings her expertise to ensure that the company provides the highest quality fertility and family building services to their members. She has written, published, and lectured extensively on infertility and fertility preservation. She's also a very active member in the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. Joining Dr. Choi will be Stacy Hofert. Now, Stacy serves as the Group Vice President of Labor and Trust for Progeny, and in that role, she collaborates with plan sponsors to integrate family-building benefits and a full continuum of women's reproductive health services. Stacy has over two decades of experience working with labor and trust organizations. And her journey, well, she's got a union background. She started out as a steel worker at Granite City Steel in Illinois, where she says she ignited her passion for supporting labor throughout her career. So we're going to zero in on infertility, fertility coverage, especially fertility coverage support is on the rise with labor unions. We're going to get into that. And there's gaps. I mean, nothing's perfect, but that's what we're going to get into with Dr. Janet Choi and Stacy Hofert. Our second guest on the show today is Roland Rexa, better known as Rex. Now, he is with an organization called the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association, or MEBA for short, which, by the way, is the nation's oldest and finest maritime labor union, going back to 1875. MEBA represents a very large and diverse mix of engineers, deck officers, all experienced and skilled in all aspects of the maritime workforce. And Rex, again, as he's known, is the union secretary treasurer. He's born and raised in New York City, first generation American, also a graduate of the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. He joined MEBA back in 2005. And what we're going to talk about is what happened almost a month ago in Baltimore on the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which resulted in the death of a number of people who are working on that bridge overnight to fix the potholes. So we're going to get the MEBA, the Maritime Union, to comment on what happened with the bridge, what it's going to take to rebuild the bridge, and obviously the importance to travel in that area, which is huge, really huge. So Roland Rexa will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor, the segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Well, on Friday night, the UAW scored its first victory with Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga, Tennessee, voting to join the UAW. This marks the first time that Southern auto workers outside of the Detroit Big Three have won an organizing drive. And according to the union, the vote was 73% in favor, 27% against. Kelsey Smith is a worker in the paint department of Volkswagen. He said, "This election is big. People in high places told us good things can't happen here in Chattanooga." Well, they told us this is not the time to stand up. This isn't the place. But we did stand up, and we won. This is the time. This is the place. Southern workers already standing up, winning a better life, said Kelsey. President Biden, who walked a Michigan picket line last fall in support of that strike against the Big Three, sent out his congratulations Friday night for the historic vote. This is what Biden said. "I was proud to stand alongside auto workers in their successful fight for record contracts, and I'm proud to stand with auto workers now as they successfully organize at Volkswagen. Across the country, union members have logged major wins and large raises, including auto workers, actors, port workers, teamsters, writers, warehouse, and healthcare workers, and more. Together, these union wins have helped raise wages and demonstrate once again that the middle class built America and that unions are still building and expanding the middle class for all workers." Now, keep in mind, we talked about this last week, six Republican governors, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Kay Ivey of Alabama, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Tate Reeves of Mississippi, Henry McMaster of South Carolina, and Greg Abbott of Texas, all wrote a letter opposing the union drive. The letter said, "The reality is companies have choices when it comes to where to invest and bring jobs and opportunity. We have worked tirelessly on behalf of our constituents to bring good-paying jobs to our states. Unionization would certainly put our states' jobs in jeopardy." Now, Biden, he came back after he heard that. He blasted the governors for attempting to influence workers' votes by falsely claiming that a successful vote would jeopardize jobs in their states. And this is what Biden said. "Let me be clear to the Republican governors that try to undermine this vote. There is nothing to fear from American workers using their voice and their legal right to form a union if they so choose. In fact, the growing strength of unions over the last year has gone hand in hand with record small business and jobs growth alongside the longest stretch of low unemployment in more than 50 years. I will continue to stand with American workers and stand against Republicans' efforts to weaken workers' voices." President Joe Biden speaking. Now, the UAW said that the 5,000 workers at the Mercedes-Benz plant, this is in Vance, Alabama, will vote to join the UAW in the middle of May. It's going to start on May 13th and should wrap up on the 17th. Following the Detroit 3 strike, more than 10,000 non-union auto workers have signed union cards in recent months, with public campaigns launched in Mercedes, Volkswagen, Hyundai in Montgomery, Alabama, and Toyota in Troy, Missouri. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what Progeny is all about as we start off National Infertility Awareness Week. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Ironworkers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 ironworker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Hey, this is Sean McGarvey, and I'm president of North America's Building Trades Unions, and I'm a proud listener of America's Workforce. I love this podcast.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, where you can find more at ulagency.org. As I indicated at the top of the show, today marks the beginning of National Infertility Awareness Week, which was started back in 1989, and all too often myths and misinformation appear in media stories or influence lawmakers and companies to enforce policies that create a lot of barriers for people who need help building their family. And we all know the importance of family. Well, we have two very distinguished guests on our live line today. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the company that we're sponsoring here on America's Workforce, that's sponsoring us, I should say. Progyny is a comprehensive benefits solution that supports members through their suite of preconception, fertility, and family building, maternity, postpartum, and menopause products. Progyny stands out in the market due to their actively managed network of top specialists, clinically integrated member support, and equitable benefit design. That's a mouthful, but we're going to unwind it here on America's Workforce. We're going to start off with Dr. Janet Choi. Now, Dr. Choi is a double board certified reproductive endocrinologist and OBGYN. She also serves as the chief medical advisor for Progyny, where she brings her expertise to ensure that the company provides the highest quality fertility and family building services to their members and continues to raise the bar as the industry leader. Dr. Choi, thank you so much for joining us today here on America's Workforce, and we appreciate the sponsorship. And I always start off my interviews trying to get a little background as to how you got into this profession. I mean, I salute you. You know, becoming a doctor is not easy. There's a lot of schooling involved. Now, was this a family member or something that you said when you were a little kid, I want to be a doctor? Talk to me about that part, Dr. Choi. Go ahead.
Flash, thank you so much. I'm just so happy to be here on this podcast with you. It's a combination of both. I am the child of two immigrants from Korea, and both of them were physicians. They're now retired. And so I had great modeling there, talks around the dinner table about how they were helping this person and that. And they're actually childhood photos of like back when I'm 3 or 4 years old with a stethoscope applied to my doll. So I think that I had that in my DNA from a very early point in my life. I did toy with other ideas like cooking or becoming a literature professor, but the call to try to make an impact on my community, especially on trying to make an impact as it pertains to women's healthcare, really pulled me into the medical field. And that's what kept me there as a practicing clinician. I had the honor of working with hundreds, if not thousands, of patients on their different family building journeys over the decades, and had the opportunity to team up with Progyny several years back on their medical advisory board, and learned firsthand as I was working with my patients who were served by Progyny, just how much of an impact they had in terms of delivering the best quality care to our patients. And so it was an easy shift for me when I wanted to open up the aperture and sort of increase my ability to help more people, to team up with Progyny as their chief medical officer last year. And so here I am with Stacy and you.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to play with a stethoscope as well, but it just didn't work out becoming a doctor. I just wanted to let you know that you probably have a visual right now. Okay, we should point out, too, that Dr. Choi is one of New York Magazine's top doctors, as well as New York's super doctor. And she's had that position every year since 2018. So congratulations to you on that honor. All right, let's go to Stacy Hofert. I'm pronouncing your name correctly, right, Stacy?
You are.
Okay, Stacy, she's not a doctor. She's an MBA, serves as the Group Vice President of Labor and Trust for Progyny. And in that role, Stacy collaborates with plan sponsors to integrate family-building benefits in a full continuum of women's reproductive health services. And her journey, now this is interesting. You and I share a little something here. We come from steel. You are a woman of steel, and I see you worked as a steel worker in Granite City Steel. Talk to me about that part and how you found your way to Progyny. That's got to be an interesting story.
Well, my first day on the job was in the hot strip where I was jackhammering out these big wells, and I was looking at all these bricks and I was wondering where the heck they were going, and they said, honey, that's your job for next week. So sure enough, the next week I was shoveling bricks down in the basement of that hot strip. But, you know, I think just being part of, you know, that labor community, it ignited my passion to continue my career, to work with labor unions. I really enjoy working with Taft-Hartley plans and coming up with good solutions to make their plans better. So that's kind of how I got started, and I've been doing this for over 20 years and love what I do and am passionate about labor in general.
Well, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. You know that. I think that's
exactly.
I've been doing it for 50 some years, believe me. All right, let's get into the meat of the matter here. I want to talk about fertility coverage support, and I see that's on the rise with labor here. 85% of large organizations are looking to expand their fertility benefits this year. My question is, why now? And I understand, Stacy, you want to pick up on this?
Sure. So as we kick off National Infertility Awareness Week, this couldn't be a better question to start with. There's been a lot of momentum that has grown. The American Medical Association, as well as the World Health Organization, has recognized infertility as a disease. There's actually 21 states that have passed fertility insurance coverage laws. Now, I understand that Taft-Hartley plans aren't required to follow those state mandates, but they recognize that they need this benefit to stay competitive in the marketplace.
I see. Dr. Choi, I see one in six struggle with infertility, and many more might require family building assistance. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely, Flash. And in fact, unfortunately, the prevalence of infertility, which is a medical condition, the inability to conceive without medical assistance, is on the rise. A few years back, it was 1 in 8, according to the World Health Organization. And now, most recently, last year, they announced it affects 1 in 6 individuals worldwide. So I think one of the myths that we need to dispel right here and now is infertility doesn't just affect women. It affects men. When I look at the couples I've helped on their family building journeys, at least 30% of them were impacted by male factor issues as well as female issues. So it affects everybody. And that's the reason why I think it's so important that we're mindful of providing the right personalized support to account for each person's medical needs along this journey in terms of family building.
Now, Stacy, from a labor point of view, many labor organizations are looking to recruit and retain younger members as well as women.
Yeah, especially in the building trades. They, we're seeing more and more of a push to recruit and retain women. And we've had a current labor client actually that expressed that his younger members actually expect this benefit as opposed to it being a nice to have benefit.
Now, I know you have some numbers on this as far as preferences changing. Stacy, what can you add to that?
Sure. So studies have shown that 68% of adults would actually switch jobs for better fertility benefits. And 80% of people want to work for an organization that prioritizes diversity, equity, and inclusion. Plus, 56% of people say their benefits are a big reason they stay with an organization. And we know that's true, especially with unions, because they do have great benefits that they can offer their members.
Yeah, that makes sense. If the benefits are good, why change? All right, let's move on to gaps in traditional fertility care, if you don't mind here. I understand fertility care has been around, well, for a long time now, let's be honest there. But
right,
what have been the underlying issues with accessing this care? Can you get into that for us?
So the traditional definition of infertility unwittingly discriminates. And I'm going to have Dr. Choi talk a little bit about that.
Yep. So again, there are traditional carriers, and I've witnessed this firsthand when I've worked with patients in the past, where a plan might cover and offer some sort of fertility treatment and benefit, but in order to access and unlock it, the member first has to prove that they're infertile. And by proof, if you follow the old school definition of infertility, sometimes I'd have a single parent by choice or a same-sex female couple argue, how are we going to prove that we're infertile, that we failed 6 rounds of heterosexual intercourse or 12 months of heterosexual intercourse in order for us to access these fertility benefits? It's really not fair. And so unfortunately, when they have this limited access or inability to access the benefits that are right in front of them, it oftentimes causes them to sometimes, because now their ability to make clear-sighted medical judgments in terms of what's best for their outcomes and in terms of having a safe family-building experience is clouded by the financial stressors. So I've had patients say, I know that you're recommending that I don't use this fertility drug, but I've not succeeded with this oral medication, and I can't afford another treatment called in vitro fertilization, which we can go into later. So I want you to get as many of my eggs to stimulate and wake up, and let's do an insemination. And although that's still considered a more conservative, old school way of managing fertility needs, unfortunately, the rates of failure increase with aging, and the rates of complications like twin and triplet and quadruplet pregnancies really increase. And so unfortunately, what can happen is in those situations when someone has restricted access to covered care, they might make a choice to pursue the sort of treatment and either just not ever conceive, or end up conceiving triplets or quadruplets, and then unfortunately losing them at 18 weeks or 22 weeks because there is a much higher rate of miscarriage and preterm loss in those situations. So trying to offer a comprehensive, really fair benefit that accounts for each person's personalized journey and needs really helps kind of level the playing field.
What about limits when it comes to the money spent here? I think the best way to explain this, it's called dollar max models. You're kind of like stuck in a certain area, and if the money runs out, you're in trouble. Dr. Choi, can you help us out on that?
Absolutely, Flash, and I'm so glad that you reminded me and you brought that up. So some plans will offer a certain dollar amount and say, well, you know, we're checking the box. We're offering all of our members, let's say $5,000 of lifetime coverage or $10,000, thinking that should really cover all the bases because it seems like a lot of money up front. But what they don't understand is that that can easily be swept away for someone who badly needs this because they've had 6 years of infertility, one of their fallopian tubes doesn't work, their partner's sperm is really very poor in quality. And so they end up pursuing in vitro fertilization, where you can actually mix eggs and sperm in a petri dish outside of the body in a lab and then put an embryo back into the body. But unfortunately, with that dollar cap, they might run out of coverage 3/4 of the way through a cycle. And in that case, the patient, the intended parent is scrambling because they're like, I don't have any more coverage and I have very limited funds in my bank account. So I know, doc, you're arguing that it's better and safer for me to have a single embryo placed into my uterus, so I have a single pregnancy shot, but I want you to double my odds. So let's put in 2 embryos or 3 embryos. And unfortunately, again, that can sometimes backfire. Sometimes it ends with a good result, but oftentimes with complicated pregnancies that also drive up the overall cost of care. both for that intended parent, as well as for those who are covering the cost of medical care for the 26-week preterm twin delivery, as an example.
Yeah, what you painted there, there's so many people that are out there that want that family. And it, like, if they have the money, they'll spend it all. They want this to happen. But then there are some that don't have that. They're kind of wedged in. And I want to ask you, Dr. Choi, too, we're on a roll here. I mean, we're getting some good questions and answers here. The number of specialists, fertility specialists, and you know there's a lot of politics involved in the country right now. They're dealing with this, and they're probably even hesitant to even go into this field. And then the ones that are in the field are being very, very cautious. Can you speak to that for our listeners?
Yeah, thank you for that very loaded but really important question, especially in this day and age. And so in order to what makes me very proud to represent Progyny is we have a curated network of credentialed reproductive endocrinologists and reproductive urologists. So specialists who are board certified either in reproductive endocrine, taking care of female needs, reproductive urology for male needs, and offering the best, highest quality level of care. So hopefully it'll get that person, that patient, to the end point of having a baby in the safest, most efficient way possible. The issue is that if you don't have access to that kind of curated network, you don't know from whom you're getting the care. And that person may have good intentions, but if they don't have the proper training and background, I question the quality of care that they may end up getting. And sometimes then that's when complications are more likely to arise. The other issue is that particularly in this day and age, when we look about laws that are sometimes limiting access to really necessary, important medical care, how that can also restrict access to care. So again, highlighting the need for having a nationwide network of providers so that if a member is constrained based on where they live in terms of getting access to the right and safe medical care, if they have access to a nationwide network of providers and have potentially travel benefits embedded in their comprehensive coverage, they're able to continue their family building journey in the safest way possible.
You know, ladies, I got to take a quick break here. This is really special. Thank you both for joining us here on America's Workforce. We are speaking with two members of Progyny, which is a comprehensive benefits solution supporting members through their suite of preconception, fertility, family building, maternity, postpartum, and menopause products. And Dr. Janet Choi is joining us along with Stacy Hofert. Stacy, not ignoring you. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, real simple. Here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. We've got some five-star, maybe 10-star guests on the show today. Joining us on our live line is Dr. Janet Choi and Stacy Hofert, and they are with an organization called Progyny, that's P-R-O-G-Y-N-Y, which is a comprehensive benefits solution supporting members through their suite of preconception, fertility, family building. We talked a lot about that in the first segment here on the show. And this is National Infertility Awareness Week. So we're kicking off the week with two very special people talking about this issue, which is a big issue. Now, let's talk about the gaps that exist and how Progyny is working to close those gaps. And Stacy, let's go to you right now. Maybe you can tell us what your organization is doing, because you're doing great work. Let's talk about it. Go ahead.
That's great. When we're looking at this, we're not just talking about people that are going through infertility. We actually are supporting everyone from a preconception stage. So even that younger couple that just isn't sure how it all works, they can call us and talk to us about the best way to achieve their dream of having a family. But with Progyny, beyond that, those that do call in for infertility, we have concierge level one-on-one support with what we call patient care advocates. And they provide advocacy to that individual all throughout their infertility journey. That's really important because a lot of people just don't know the answers. And so they will then go to their doctor highly educated because they've been able to talk to that patient care advocate. We also have a specialized actively managed network of top fertility specialists and women's health providers. And along with that, we actually provide data-driven care, which enables us to reach out to a member if they're getting ready to go through a process. We can provide full visibility to all of those plans that are implementing the benefit as well.
So is this through a simple phone call? How does maybe the mechanics of this? Say, pretend that I am calling Progyny and I need some answers. I could get them right away then, or? How does it
work?
Yeah,
absolutely. So each one of the funds that join Progyny as a client, they actually have a dedicated phone number for their group. So we recognize if it's a IBEW member or a SEIU member, they'll call in. We'll talk to them about their specific plan design, what is covered, and then we'll help educate them on, we'll learn everything there is to know about their infertility journey thus far, and then we'll help guide them to the right doctors. We'll help educate them on the process and all of that.
Oh, that's great. So it's tailor-made for the individual union.
And we average about 22 interactions per individual, and it's an inbound outbound model. We're not like trying to get someone off the phone right away. We're really spending the time to learn everything there is about that individual.
Good. Well, as I said, I did check out your website. Very, very classy website. There's a lot of information posted right there. Let's move on to addressing gaps in women's health care. This is beyond fertility. If we can talk about the inequities, not just in fertility care, but across women's health spectrum. And Stacy, let's start off with you, and we can hear from Dr. Choi on this issue. Go ahead.
Sure. So, as I alluded to earlier, female membership is growing within the union labor market space. And it's important to build a benefit that prioritizes women's health equity. So I'm going to have Janet talk a little bit about what that equity looks like.
So thanks, Stacy. And again, thanks, Flash. So it can start as early as Stacy was alluding to the someone who may not need medical help for fertility yet, but wants more advice on how to have a safe fertility and pregnancy journey. So they may call in and talk to their assigned personal patient care advocate. And although we do have digital support, I think the professional high touch human support is really important, especially in this day and age. And so I've listened to member calls where they just call in and say, oh, I didn't know I have to take a prenatal vitamin. I didn't realize that folic acid might actually help, you know, prevent certain birth defects. That's really good to know. And they go on to conceive without assistance. And then they might come back to us years later for menopause support. I think a lot of people are under the misconception that menopause affects people who are retired, women in their 60s and 70s. But unfortunately, what happens is those symptoms actually start to kick in for many women in their late 30s and early 40s and can last for over a decade. Hot flushes, cognitive impairment, sleep disturbances, increased risk for heart disease and diabetes. And so getting ahead of the game, first connecting with your patient care advocate, learning about the impact on your health, and also getting reassurance, because sometimes it's hard for a member to connect with their primary care doctor because they're so busy. I know, you know, even though I'm a doctor myself, it can take me 3 to 6 months to connect with my gynecologist. So being able to connect with someone real time, get reassurance, review their symptoms, learn about sort of the aspects of care that are available through their benefits, connecting with a specialized menopause provider within a matter of a week, usually max 10 days, via virtual health in a very timely fashion. So they don't have to take off a full day of work. They can log on at 10 a.m. for their 10 a.m. appointment, and their nurse practitioner or physician menopause specialist is there and ready to go over their history and offer them a solution for their issues is really key in really supporting women in our workforce. I don't know if you were aware of this study. I thought it was pretty remarkable. There was a study that came out last spring that estimated that unmet menopause needs, whether it's hot flushes, sleep impairment, weight gain, other concerns, and having women having to figure out their own healthcare path, was costing funds over $2 billion plus dollars a year in lost workdays, in lost productivity, in doctor shopping and doctor hopping. So being able to provide that specialty care immediately is so crucial for everybody.
Did you say $2 billion?
$2 billion plus, and that's a low-end estimation.
Wow. Yeah. You know, May, and Dr. Choi, this is for you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're doing a lot here on the show to highlight the what's going on in society today. And I think the pandemic, you know this, has just made mental health a number one issue in America. What is it, like 1 out of 5 people dealing with some form of a mental health issue? How does that affect infertility? There's got to be a connection there as well, isn't there?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because a lot of people push that to the wayside or sweep it under the rug just because they're so focused on just, how do I get pregnant? How do I have a baby? But unfortunately, the mental health aspect of infertility, and also for those who are suffering miscarriage after miscarriage, is on par with someone who actually is suffering from cancer. So making sure that each member is supported, not just with the proper medical care, but also with that proper mental health support. And it starts off again, I think, and I think this is the reason why Progyny is such a success. I can't tell you how many times I would check in with a patient of mine and say, you know, I'm so used to all the other patients calling me after hours every single day. How come you haven't checked in with me? I'm here for you. And they'll say, well, I have this patient care advocate. And yeah, I had questions, but I spoke to her and she kind of reassured me that my worries or concerns were legit, but par for the course. And so I was comfortable with that response and interchange. So I didn't need further support from you at this point. So having that validating professional concierge support for every single member is, again, incredibly important. And having that PC being able to sort of help the member figure out when they need higher levels of mental health support, connecting with their, you know, psychiatrist or psychologist if they need further support, as opposed to ignoring their symptoms.
One word I want to bring out in this discussion is comprehensive. And I think it's important to point out there's a lot of different parts to this puzzle that we're talking about with fertility, infertility, raising a family. And I think that's where Progyny comes in. Stacy, maybe you could pick up on that. In fact, it's kind of like a one-stop shopping. I don't want to be so so trite
for
on that.
For women's health, anyway. Thing. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, for women's health, okay? Can you speak to that? I think it's important that people have access to a company that kind of does it all.
Yeah, so at Progyny, you know, we've seen a huge impact on members and organizations that have implemented our benefit. And, you know, our high touch engagement and ability to connect members to the care that they need in a timely manner is absolutely important. So from Progyny's perspective, what we're doing for plans is we help them mitigate risk. We have a 72% lower incidence of multiples and related pregnancy complications and NICU visits. We also capture 40% of a client's high-risk pregnancies by engaging them, which helps avoid those downstream costs that can be very expensive. We also see that our clients see a 10 to 20% savings on pharmacy due to medications needed, and even a 25 to 30% savings over other programs. And finally, the ability for those experiencing perimenopause and menopause symptoms to see a trained provider, they can see one within a week, which is fantastic. But the bottom line is that there's major gaps in coverage and priorities. So these gaps are going to translate to poor retention for organizations and poor health outcomes, as well as basically financial, you know, strain on those members. So while there are gaps and inequities, what Progyny is doing is we're providing a very thoughtful, fair solution for all, not just the select few, as Dr. Choi referred to earlier. And it's important for funds to look at these critically because they're not all the same.
The bottom line is nothing's perfect, let's be honest. But we're doing our best to close those gaps. And there's gaps out there. But as long as we're aware of those gaps, we know we can try to close them. And that's exactly what's happening in this conversation. I thank both of you. Dr. Janet Choi, double board certified reproductive endocrinologist and OBGYN. And you know what? I don't feel bad now. You said, how long did it take for you to get an appointment with your gynecologist? Not that I'm going to a gynecologist. Did you say 3 to 6 months?
Three to six months. For a well woman visit that might last at most 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. I know, because I deal with doctors all the time because of my age. And I said, when am I going to be able to get in there? Wait a minute. We can't do anything a little bit earlier. But anyway, I don't feel that bad now, but I understand that. Thank you so much. Both of you have been wonderful here. I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot. So thank you very much. And let's do this again, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Roland Rexa will be joining us on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Roland is the Secretary Treasurer of the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit BMWE.org. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit BACweb.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. And welcome to the show, Roland Rexa, better known as Rex. And he's speaking on behalf of the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. And this is the segment we do each and every month on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. For complete updates, TTD.org. And this is a collection of over three dozen unions that deal with transportation, whether it's on land, on the sea, rail, or on the air. Doesn't really matter. Roland, welcome to America's Workforce. Now, I understand you prefer to be called Rex because your last name is Rexa. Is that true?
Yeah. So I served in, I went to the United States Merchant Marine Academy. So it's a military school, military college, one of the federal service academies. And when everyone sees your last name, they just start calling you by it, and it is short, and then it's sort of saying Rex. So it stuck with me my whole life.
There you go. And you're the union secretary treasurer. What made you go in this direction? I mean, this is an interesting journey, being part of this organization. I guess this organization has quite a history too, doesn't it?
Yes. So we're the oldest maritime union in the country, going back to 1875. It started in the Great Lakes when they had these coal-fired steamships. They had boiler explosions, and some engineers got together and said, "Hey, we gotta fight safety standards, fight for higher wages." And it's actually, you know, going back to it, it's now the oldest standalone union in the country.
I see the website is MEBAUnion.org. I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's MEBA, correct?
Yes.
Okay, MEBAUnion.org. I know you're here today to talk about what happened in Baltimore with the collapse of that bridge, and I'm replaying in my mind all the time when I saw that carrier come through there and hit it, and all of a sudden it was like falling apart, the whole thing just falling apart, and obviously that has had quite an effect on shipments and deliveries going out and coming in. What is the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association? What's the role of MEBA in all of this right now, Rex?
Well, we're the largest American flag. We represent officers on the American flag, so American ships. Now, here's the thing: the ship that hit that bridge is a foreign flag ship, and I think where we see there should be some changes, and where we see that, hey, there's potential problems that of what happened here. And we'll see what happens when the NTSB does their full report. But we believe that there was some issues when it came down to how the workers on these ships, which are foreign workers, how they're treated, how they're what resources they're given. And it could have led to some of the issues and potentially led to this disaster.
Were you surprised that it came down like it did when you saw that video?
It's pretty crazy. You see something like that I see my kids playing with toys all the time, and you see a bridge like that or something go down, and you're like, okay. But you see it on such a massive scale, you worry about, you know, our infrastructure. Is this something that could happen in other places? And what safety procedures are put in place to protect other places? But God forbid something like this happens again.
I'm just wondering, what's the status of those on the ship right now? Because I know a big chunk of the bridge fell on top of it, and they were like stationary. I don't know where we are right now, but maybe you can explain that to our listeners. What's the status of that?
So they're required to stay on the ship. They're not American citizens. They don't have passports. They don't have visas. So they're living on this ship that has essentially a bridge on top of it. There's 22 mariners on there. There's people providing aid to them and giving them resources, but they're stuck on the ship until either the ship can move or they find some other way to remove them.
So in your estimation, how long will that take? I mean, how long are they going to be on that ship?
I think my gut tells me it'll be at least another month or so. I think once they remove the bridge off and they're able to float the vessel out, I think that's then they'll be able to get them out of there.
Oh, that's amazing. So this is a foreign flag vessel, which there are many. And I'm just wondering now, where does MEBA fall into this? You kind of touched on it. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more. And MEBA, again, is the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. Can you explain what's going on? And I know there's so many different offshoots to this. I know we're fighting to make sure the ships are built here in the United States. China right now is building most of the ships around in the world today. But where does MEBA fit in on these foreign flag vessels today, Rex?
Well, 98% of the world's cargo is moved on foreign ships. It's only 2% of the world's international cargo is moved on American ships, 2%. MEBA represents the officers on that 2%. A lot of those 2%. We go back. I mean, I think the thing people don't realize is how important the merchant marine is to this country. We look at issues during COVID. You know, not having vessels, these foreign companies were able to raise the rates, and essentially it comes on the consumer. You know, when you're sitting at home ordering goods on Amazon, and then you see the price of goods start going up and keep rising, it's because they're putting those transportation costs on you, the consumer. And that's why it's important to have a merchant marine, a domestic merchant marine, our own national merchant marine. And the fact is, we're in competition with a lot of foreign companies that are they're cutting corners on safety, they're cutting corners on the crewing, and they use, you know, there's no labor standards for these companies. So like a Flag Convenience, which is like 50% of the international, they have zero labor standards. They use mariners from all over the place. They don't pay these guys. Half the time, they don't even treat them. There's no medical, there's nothing. And then some of the other foreign countries, they don't even offer, they offer similar, better conditions, but nowhere near what the American or some of the other more developed countries offer.
And how long has this been going on? Is this years in the making, Rex?
Well, our industry is one of the oldest industries in the world. This is, you know, and it's because it's so old, it's harder to make those changes to make it better, I think. And I think that's probably why we have some of this. It's historic. But, you know, we say this, and it's incidents like this that are going to be the catalyst to change things. It's sad to say this because, and we say it a lot in transportation, whether, you know, the rules are written in blood. It takes some sort of incident for someone to make a change. You know, whether it's Boeing, what's going on with Boeing right now, with the doors flying off, or what happened in Palestine, the only way you're going to have real effective change is it has to be a reactive change to some sort of disaster. And me personally, I think this is where unions stand, at least the American unions. We want to be proactive in trying to affect change and make it safe before we have some sort of disaster that affects people.
So let me ask you this, because of what happened in Baltimore, and you talk about change and the Transportation Trades Department, well, you got a lot of members there, well over three dozen unions. Are we going to be having hearings on this to initiate that change right now? I mean, now is the moment. You got to seize the moment. You know that, Rex, don't you?
I do. And I think there is some change coming. You know, the NTSB is, as they're doing the investigation, we're going to find out a lot about this. And I don't know how the engineers on these vessels are. I can't make a decision of if they're good engineers or bad engineers. You know, every country has good engineers, bad engineers, good captains, bad captains, good officers. I'm not going to make that decision. What I will say is if they gave these people the resources, if they gave them the opportunity to be able to say, hey, the vessel's not seaworthy, and I have a feeling we're going to find out a lot about this company and about how unsafe their practices are, and it's going to change how these vessels and these operators come into at least our waters, in American waters, and how they're treated. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that this can really affect, you know, maybe some what has been, I believe, the dirty underbelly of our industry, of the maritime industry.
All right, Rex, we'll see what happens here. I know there's a number of investigations going on. I had no idea that the people on that ship are probably going to be there for another month. And it's already almost a month that this accident happened. And again, it's an accident that's going to be replayed many, many times on various media platforms. Roland Rexa, better known as Rex, Secretary Treasurer of MEBA, which is the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association, been around since 1875. And the website is MEBAUnion.org. Rex, thank you so much for joining us. Please keep in touch with us, okay?
Yeah, thanks. And anytime you need me talk about maritime, I'm more than happy.
There you go. All right. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Alliance for American Manufacturing and our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.